Welcome to Hack Your Human Design. I'm Melanie Hill, your host, and I'm here to help you hack your human design so you can stop wasting all your energy hustling and start aligning with who you really are so you can become a magnet to your people and the income you really want. I want you to help more people with more love and more self-trust. If you want to build or scale your business with ease, listen on. Hello, lovely one. Welcome to the podcast today. So today, before we dive right in, I wanted to let you know a little bit about the two guests I have on today. Super excited. I don't know if I've ever done a podcast with two guests at the same time, but it was such a fun conversation with two of my favorite people. So Allison and Becca, they are two amazing coaches out in the world. Allison has been a long-term client for a long time. She's been on the podcast actually twice, and she's an amazing generator. And Becca, I've met more recently, and she is a wonderful projector. So you're going to hear from two really deeply wise women today and me on the podcast. And this is just a little bit about them. So Allison and Becca are on a mission to call others up to the life they're meant to live. They teach women the secrets to deepen their relationship with themselves and boldly own their desires. No more shrinking, no more second guessing, no more people-pleasing, confusion, or overwhelm. They help women rise up and create a life of impact and legacy. They are the most audacious and wonderful, beautiful women that I've had a chance to talk to on this podcast, really. And I am so excited to be talking about their workshop as well. They have a beautiful workshop coming up. It's going to be free, where they're going to really be diving into so many of the things that we go into today, from how putting yourself first isn't selfish, it is completely the opposite, and what it feels like to do that in a world that feels like it's on fire, right? We talk about how self-compassion really is essential for your personal growth, how to trust yourself and be in the driver's seat of your life, and how to go and look for those small wins and synchronicities and how they're really important indicators of how far you've come. And they talk about their workshop, The Time Is Now, that's coming up, and what it will be for you. And so we go into all kinds of really fun, juicy things too. Like at the end, we go into their human design and chat about that a little bit. But this conversation is going to really affirm the walk you're on, and I really want you to listen to this with an open heart and an open mind, because as always, y'all know, I will be here on this podcast preaching about putting yourself first, putting your desires first, really walking into the fire of feeling the shadow of selfishness and what that brings into your life. Because I feel like when we can fully integrate the shadow of our selfishness and the shadow of our victim, is when we really, really be able to wake up and serve the world fully. We talk about so much about how becoming your fullest expressed self is your greatest contribution to the world. And y'all know that is always my mission for you on this podcast and in every human design little container that I've ever put in the world. So y'all enjoy this conversation and sign up for their workshop coming up soon. All right. So I am super excited to have Allison and Becca with me today. Yay. How are y'all?
We're so excited to be here.
Yeah.
Really pumped for this conversation.
I know. We got to catch up a little bit a couple weeks ago, and it was so good and got us so excited about this conversation we're about to have. So yay. And I have just been introduced to Becca, but I've known Allison for forever.
Yeah.
Y'all are like two of my favorite people. So I am so excited to have you on today to talk about all the juicy things that are coming up in y'all's business too. I know y'all are about to have this amazing event that I really want everyone to know about as well. So anyway, let's just get started. Like we were just talking about before, why is creating the life of your dreams important right now in the world today? Right? The world's been on fire for like 4 years, right? But there's been a lot happening lately. Like, why do y'all think it's important to do now? We'll just start with the big question.
Yeah, I think that the whole idea of creating the life of your dreams is something that as soon as things start to go into chaotic mode around us, whether it's in our personal life or it's in just the world in general, we kind of immediately think that that's one of the things that goes to the back burner. Like, we don't think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think it just goes right in line with putting ourselves last mm-hmm. and not being selfish and not thinking about ourselves too much. And I think that whole idea of putting ourselves last is actually just so backwards.
Yeah.
Because we can see the evidence where when we take care of ourselves, when we fill our cup, like everybody knows this, you have such a different bandwidth to approach the world with. Mm-hmm. You have such different space and generosity and clear-headed thinking to approach any scenario, anything that's happening in your immediate vicinity that you can actually do something with, you will be able to bring that into your world and see how you can contribute to it, how you can contribute to problem solving. Mm-hmm. When we don't take care of ourselves, we think it's that we're giving of ourselves. But if we don't pursue the things that look like what we want, we think that we're just giving of our own capacity and our own energy to other people, but it ends up not actually giving them anything of value.
Yeah.
It just ends up being us more of like this drain that's not able to contribute to anything.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see it.
Absolutely. And I think when it comes to the idea of now, why now, mm-hmm. when we look at the world on fire, it just creates more of the idea of the fragility of life, right? Mm-hmm. And so none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And yet we're willing to stay in the cycles of mediocrity on autopilot, but you could fucking die tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And when you look at the number one regret of the dying, it's all the same across the board. There are actually 5 top regrets of the dying. And they all have to do and are all tied to not knowing and loving and expressing your true self. Every one of them. Every freaking one of them. And so what you have here is not people at the end of their life wishing they had been more successful or wishing they had earned more money or wishing they had served everyone else around them better. They're like, damn, who was I? Why didn't I find out who I was? Why didn't I start embodying who I was? And why didn't I live it? Why didn't I have that courage? And so why would we not learn from the people who can't go back, who don't have another chance, who that's it, it's over? Why would we not take from them and say, this is how I want to move forward? I don't know if I only have a day left. Maybe I have a year. Maybe I have 50 years left, but I'm going to commit every day to choosing to figure out who I am, why I'm here, and how I can really embody the fullest version of myself. Because to her point, that's really how we truly overflow and serve the world around mm-hmm. us anyway.
We were made to be here to be the fullest version of ourselves.
Yeah, like, totally.
We were made to be here. That's why we're here. And all the interaction with other people and the interdependence and the interconnection that is a beautiful network of how life is supposed to look can only work to its fullest if we are coming to the table with our fullest.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh. So good. Y'all have given me goosebumps a lot already. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. This is why I love human design so much, is because this is so important to like live who you are. And so many of us walk around most of our lives, I would say, according to the dead, right? Not knowing that or connecting with it or expressing it. And it really is so heartbreaking at the end, I would say. So y'all know like who is who here. As y'all won't be seeing this, y'all will be listening to this. So yeah. Just wanted to go back and say that. But yeah, so good is really so important. And I loved what you said, Becca, because it was like, yes, the regret of the dying is not, oh my God, I should have been more selfless. It's really like, oh my God, I should have put myself first so many more times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. How can we learn that serving the people around us really does take putting ourselves and our needs and our wants and our desires first?
Yeah. Well, I think that that is like the thing that we're all working against is that programmed belief that's how we serve everyone else is by serving them first and not taking care of ourselves. And so I think that it's stacked up evidence through programmed beliefs that we're coming against. But if we can start stacking up evidence in our own minds, when we look at our own lives and say, okay, the times that I take time out for myself to meditate or to be in nature or to just be with me or to vent or to be with friends or whatever, things that I love to do that really take me back home to me. When I come back from those, you can see evidence very easily of, I feel like a better version of myself. I feel like I can handle my life better. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can live in more overflow. So it doesn't take much to look for the pieces that show you the truth and the reality that You taking time for you, you diving into who you are, you living from that place is actually best for the collective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always like to look at it in other people's lives, like the opposite effect. Because it's sometimes hard for me to see in myself. I've learned a lot more how to look for those evidences and how to stack them up, and specifically to look like, how do I feel in this moment? Well, I feel like a much more capable mom right now because of this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And also, I like to look at other people's lives and be like, how much would my life be better if that person would take some agency over their life and and take time out for themselves and take care of their emotions, take care of their mental health, go do these things that like find out who they are and go do that for themselves. Yeah, yeah. How much better would I be affected, right? Like
it would so good
in relationships or oh my gosh, yes, totally know that feeling for sure. Yeah, that's so good. Becca, what did you say a minute ago?
Oh, just about the idea of like seeing the evidence, right? Yeah. So like our brains want to give us all the primal responses of program beliefs. You know, no, you do this, especially depending on the way you were raised. So I was raised in a very conservative Christian home. So of course, everything was about like behavior, all the external, and it's all about everyone else. Everything, my entire world was dictated by everything and everyone else. It was, there was never a pursuit of like, hey, who are you? What do you love? What have you discovered about yourself? I want to discover that with you. There was nothing like that. I wouldn't have even understood it if there was, because it was so starkly different. So my entire upbringing was programmed into me, make sure you are constantly making sure everyone else take responsibility for everyone else's feelings and their actions and their thoughts and the way they, all of it. Like, make sure everything is good. Make sure, I was the peacekeeper. I was like, it's not because I truly was a peacekeeper. It's because I just didn't want to deal, right? I wanted everything as cozy as possible so I could rebel in a quiet way. That's what I need.
Yeah, totally. And I think what you're saying there too is like, we feel like that is actually what responsibility is, right? That's what you were taught, to be a responsible person. That's what that means. Wow. But actually, it makes you less responsible, because for me, like what y'all were talking about was, how do you build your capacity? When you go and do the things that fill you up, that make you you, that help you express, your capacity goes up. And capacity is like your ability to respond to whatever life gives you, like responding to your children, like having a meltdown. You become a better mom, like you said, like I'm a more resourced person. I can respond to my partner better. I can deal with the unexpected bill that came in with more peace and way less just like immediate screaming or whatever I've done. I have personal experience here, right? And so, yeah, I love that what y'all are saying too, is that this is actually what can make you more responsible person in life, because your ability to respond to life is so much higher. And I've talked about this before on the podcast and in lots of places, but yeah, and that's really what responsibility actually is being a resourced person. It's being someone who has energy to respond, right? The most responsible people I've ever seen around me, they have this capacity inside of them to respond to whatever life gives them with grace and with compassion. And the only way to do that is if you are being yourself. Like I think about my grandma at this time. Like, she was one of the people in my life that, oh my gosh, she was so herself. It was just the most beautiful thing. And she always was able to show up and respond. Like, she was so patient with me and my sister when we were little girls. Like, she was just the coolest, most amazing person. But that was it. And she had a lot of problems, you know, in quotes, in her life, because people really would like bump against her because she was just so herself. And in a time too, she was a woman pilot. She was a teacher, actually, like way back in the day in the 70s, like teaching all these men. And she was just so expressed. And anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent, but because of that, right, her ability to respond, and I think that's what y'all are saying too, is she was very rare for her time, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But if more people were like that, right?
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine what the world would look like if every single person understood this? and practiced this
yeah.
all the time, like the world would be totally mm-hmm. different. Totally different.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I saw this Instagram carousel from the holistic psychologist, right? She's like the best. All about the new generational wealth.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yes, this is also the same thing. What are yeah. we giving to the next generation, whether you have kids or not? Like, who are you being in the world? What are you giving? And I don't know about y'all, but it's kind of like, well, is it learning how to be a good cog in the system? Or is it learning how to have your emotions, how to be confident in who you are? Yeah. Right? Because you understand yourself. And the only way to give that to your children is to be that.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. In the world. And I just thought that was an amazing way to look at it too. I was like, wow, this is the new generational wealth that we can yeah. leave the next generation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what's so undermined in our society is the ability to ask ourselves powerful questions. Because when it comes to being responsible for yourself and like taking personal ownership, the thing that has gotten both Allison and I to the places we are in life is not even so much information as much as diving into asking ourselves the questions that we've never even been taught to ask ourselves before. Because think about it. If you want to get to know yourself, how do you get to know somebody else? Mm-hmm. You have to ask them questions. Mm-hmm. You have to uncover things. And so there are so many things about ourselves we didn't even know until we started asking the question.
Right.
And then what's cool is once you get to know like the yearnings, the desires, the things that are underneath that you're like, you didn't even want to identify as, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't even want to identify. Like, ooh, what does it mean to want that? Does that make me bad? Or what does it mean to desire that in my future? Does that make right. me, whatever? You have all of that aspect of it, but then you have all of the emotional stuff that comes up and it's like, oh, why do I think this way? Oh, why am I reacting so big to this mm-hmm. situation? Oh,
it gives you all the information.
Yeah. You can literally slowly start figuring yourself out at such a deep level. And when you do that, you can uncover things that you're like, oh, that's why, because I'm thinking that way. Oh, I don't actually have to think that way. Like it just creates this beautiful journey that so many people don't get on. And that's the reason they stay stuck in these boxes and prisons of what other people expect of them and what other people think of them, because they're not even asking the right questions to get to know why they do that in the first place. They can uncover and unlock so much when you ask powerful questions of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And have a relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I thought of my grandma again, because she was like, she would always say, I said to myself, self.
I just like that.
Had this inner dialogue and these questions, right? And it's like, yeah, she would do that. She would talk to herself and had this really loving relationship with herself. She was always just endlessly curious and like giggly about who she was. Wow. You know, it was very childlike. And I think too that that's part of it, right? Is like asking the right questions. Are you being curious and fun and playful with yourself? Or are you being like, why are you like that? Right? Like those kinds of questions, those disempowering questions that make you feel like shit and aren't helping you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're just like the voices of conditioning anyway. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like there really is a reality we're supposed to stand in. There mm-hmm. is the reality where we are so full and so overflowing mm-hmm. in our mm-hmm. own personhood. And it doesn't sound like all of that.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like those voices of like
condemnation
and judgment and shame and like, wait, you need to do this and you do that. It doesn't sound like that at all. It sounds like it's a safe place. It's a kind place. It's a curious place. It's a place that has so much creativity in it and so much room for others. Like my capacity has grown so much. I am literally able to hold. I was just thinking this last night because I was in the car with all of my kids and every single one of them had some big emotions happening about the other. And I was like, sitting there and thinking, you're valid. I understand all of these. And the only thing I can do right now is allow all of these to be present. And it's okay. And there wasn't even any instruction to give at the time. I knew at the time it was so good that I had that capacity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if I didn't, I would have been losing my shit. I would have caused so much more trauma. I would have made them learn that they have to shut up and sit down and not express. Mm-hmm. I would have never given them the room to actually learn how to work things out between each other. There, it would have just been like locked down. because mom's not okay, right? It was just so beautiful to sit there and realize that I was holding the capacity of the whole car.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think, too, it can be easy to make ourselves wrong for not being able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
How do people find compassion for where they are?
Good question.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things that has helped me with that is realizing the thing that I don't want to have compassion on, whatever part of me is lashing out or whatever the area is that I don't want to have compassion on me, that's a version of me. And that version of me is hurting. Because if that version of me wasn't hurting, they wouldn't be operating in a way that makes me want to judge them, right? Like they're hurting. And so for me, there's always an image I go back to of me as a child. I see that version of me as a child. I see that version of me in a corner, squat down, holding myself, crying, right? That version of me doesn't want to be that way.
Yeah.
But they feel like they don't know a better way. Mm-hmm. And so it's always easier to have compassion for myself when I stop viewing myself like, you're over 40 years old now. You should have your shit together. You have all of this exposure to personal development. You've been a coach and a speaker and you've read so many books and you've been coached so much. You should have your shit together. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, cool. So we arrive? We arrive at some point? No, we don't. The whole thing is a journey. And every part of us, all of us have different nuanced areas of our life that are going to have more wounding, more healing needed than others, more areas of vulnerability. And I think that the areas that I just want to be like and judge, like those are the stickiest ones for me. Those are the ones that started off so young. And those are the ones that got stuck so deep. And those are the places that are still like, oh, how do I get out? And my job is to free me. And the only way I can free me is through compassion.
Mm-hmm.
There is no freeing. There is no growth. There is no change except through the acceptance of where I am now so I can bring healing and love to that place so it can continue to have permission and feel safe enough to grow, to reach for a better thought, to reach for a new belief.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that visual has always helped when it comes to what to start with, when it comes to how do I start with compassion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I go a lot to just the way I'm feeling in my body. I mean, I use it as such profound guideposts because I can tell as soon as I'm starting to feel like strain. For me, it comes a lot in the form of what I call desperation. It's like, what? I'm trying to reaching for something. Yep. I'm like trying to solve something, trying to fix something, trying to get somewhere.
Urgency.
Yes. Ever that feeling is there, adding more of it just makes me go backwards. Like,
yeah,
it's like getting into the space where I'm like, no, you need to do this. You need to do that. Like, it's just, it makes the whole thing like 10 times worse and more confusing and more stuff in my body. So for me, so much of the learning self-compassion in order to reassociate with my body, I had to recognize the separation with my body in some ways. Mm-hmm. So I would look down at my body and be like, oh, my body is a colicky baby and it just needs not reason, not like pushing or like go do this thing. It just needs all the holding and shushing and swaying and just like, I've got you and it's okay. So I always go to that first. And then as soon as I do that, the way that it ends up making me feel is, of course, this works. Of course, this is the path. It makes no sense to go the other way. And every time I do, I'm always met with more overwhelm. Like I can't even think straight. But when I go this direction, I've given myself enough evidence that this is definitely the way to go. And I also look at it. I also like to use my kids as a really useful thing to show my brain because my youngest has all kinds of emotional outburst stuff that he deals with. And I can see when I respond to him with like sharpness or quickness or just get over it or just push harder, that's ridiculous. It's totally absurd. It doesn't help anything. It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help him. But when I stop for a second and I'm like, okay, buddy, I'm just going to like, it's okay. Let me hold you. Let me put my arms around you. Then we can get somewhere. Then we can work with something. So
yeah,
both of those I use a lot. And it's just so clear when you start doing that, how it actually works.
Yeah. And I think too, as y'all were both talking, I was also thinking sometimes it's really hard to get to that place with yourself, mm-hmm. right? First, because mm-hmm. I feel like we've been taught how to have this discussed with certain mm-hmm. parts of ourselves because of safety, all the things, not going to fit in. We can't believe ourselves right in that moment because that's socially wrong. And so I'd love to hear y'all talk about, what do you think about doing this kind of work, talking about somatic and emotional and parts and all of that with others? Like, what about the transformational work of witnessing someone else learn compassion, maybe with a coach or a peer even, and then maybe seeing that compassion is something that's available to them, and then witnessing, because to me, it's like our nervous systems really need the validation from another before we can give it to ourselves. Uh-huh. So we're like, be believed, like, oh, that part of me is lovable. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that part sometimes is just so hard to access on your own. Like you want to love that part so much. But until you see someone else love that part in another, or maybe someone else says, I love that part in you, it's like that wall of disgust and shame is so hard to get through. So what have y'all experienced in that realm?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is witnessing. I have a friend who is a body confidence coach and mm-hmm. photographer. And so she does a lot of body confidence, boudoir, and erotica photography. Mm-hmm. One of the things she's constantly up against is people not really fully loving their own bodies and feeling very insecure. I mean, that's a lot of exposure, those types of things, right? And so she's coaching them through things. Well, she's the real deal when it comes to embodiment of total self-love. And she mm-hmm. doesn't have the six-pack abs. And like, she just has what I would consider a typical normal womanly body. And she loves it. She's so free in her body. It's almost hard to put words to how free she is in her body. But mm-hmm. I stayed with her a week in June. And being around her energy of freedom in her body helped me realize, one, the areas that I'm not free in mine, because it's not something I really think about that often.
Right.
Two, really just made me feel, and she wasn't saying anything to me about my body or trying to empower me in my body. It was the witnessing of it.
Right.
It was like, shit.
Yeah.
I want that freedom. Mm-hmm. I want that freedom. I want that freedom. And so to your point, I think a lot of times witnessing the benefit, the freedom, yeah. Mm-hmm. the emotional like expression that feels so good, the joy, the like, you look at it and you're like, yes, mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. I want that. And that alone sometimes can be such a driver for us being able to hand it more to ourselves. Because I'll tell you what, even while I was there, I started being able to like find ways to be more free in my body and just mm-hmm. be like, oh shit. Like in little ways, like mm-hmm. this is going to sound like crazy to a lot of women, but I do not typically walk around braless in front of a bunch of other people, mm-hmm. maybe like my best friend or my family, but not like I don't walk around braless. That is definitely more of a thing now. And you see a lot of women do it. And I think it's awesome, but it's always been like, oh, I don't know. I don't do that. I got nursed boobs. Like three different years of nursed boobs. And so like, I don't know. I just hadn't done it. And then on top of that, she has mostly guy friends who come over like and hang out. They're all really cool, really good guy friends. So I was just like, fuck this. I'm about to, because she never wears a bra. Literally, I don't even know she owns a bra. I'm about to fucking not wear a bra. And I put on a tank top without a bra. I'm just like, okay. And I went out to a coffee shop with her without a bra. And I was like, oh shit, this is happening right now. Like she doesn't even know I'm dealing. Like I'm
right,
doing
right.
I can do this. I don't fucking care. This feels great. So it was the witness, right? Like the mm-hmm. witness of it is absolutely empowering.
It like gives you permission to do it too.
It's the permission. And I would say it's not just like to your point, it's not just like the once, because of course I see women out there without their bras on, but it was like watching someone mm-hmm. live.
Embody it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the proximity mm-hmm. and an intimacy with other people that
it like really heals your nervous system.
It changes mm-hmm. you. It
that does. Connection. Yeah.
Because shame and judgment are isolating.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what they want to do. It's always like keep you down undercover in the dark all alone. Like the things that we hear are always all the same from people and clients. Always. It's always the same voices.
Yeah.
And have to just bring yourself into spaces where other people are not giving the attention to those voices because we know the lie of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's wild too, because I bet everybody could look at their own lives and find one area that they operate pretty authentically and free in.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, that would be like when I go dancing, I'll go on the dance floor. It'll be partner dancing. I'll just dance by myself and I don't care. I'll just go ham and just do my own shit. And who knows what I look like? I don't care because I love it and I feel free. And I have seen other people start dancing by themselves after they've seen me doing it. And I don't think anything, I don't care. But what's funny to think about is you don't realize how the parts of you that are already free and authentic and you're living in that spot actually already are empowering other people. So it's finding those areas and being like, what's one way that it's just natural for me to kind of operate. I don't think twice about it. I feel good. I feel confident in that area, or I feel what, and really there is compassion there, because if there wasn't compassion, I'd be judging myself and all of dance wild moves, you know, and I'd be like, I can't, I don't want to do this anymore. What are people thinking? And so it's all combined, but there's always areas in our own lives and then witnessing the areas of others too. Finding people who have something that you want, you're like, I want to live in that. And you don't even have to learn 10,000 steps from them. Mm-hmm. Just being in the energy of will automatically create some of that transfusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. It's so good. Yeah. So I love group work. It's like.
Group work is awesome.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. I've been in so many programs and I've had my own programs, and it's always so profound, the layers that it can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, one-on-one's powerful too, because it's like you're still with that other person who's there, honestly, to love you unconditionally. I feel like that's the most transformational work of a coaching relationship, or like what I do anyway with my clients, and I'm sure you guys too. And yeah, it's just so good.
Yeah. I think what's fun about the group work is that things get brought to the table that your brain wasn't ready to let you see yet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you get to witness the other person, because they're ready to bring it and they bring it. And maybe it even like triggers you and you're like, oh my God, how, like, and you start judging that person. Right. Yeah. And that's okay too. I feel like that's like the first step. Mm-hmm. You're just judging in them what you are judging in you. And I've used that so many times. And of course, if you're not ready to look at it, that's fine. Sometimes you're not, right? Step by step, right? Sometimes I'm like, okay, that's really bothering me. Why am I having this judgment about this person I actually love? Like, I really like them. Why am I judging this in them? And I'm like, oh, it's usually something that I really want to say the same stuff, but I'm not. So it really is about, like, I know y'all have used the word audacious before, and freaking love that word, because I'm like, oh yeah, I just don't have the audacity to be that open right now, and I wish I did. Sometimes it can be confronting and hard, but also I feel like it's the other spectrum too. It can just be so like soft and loving and like a warm hug to witness that kind of stuff, even if it is something you're judging. But then you witness someone like love it, and you witness them go from judging it to like loving it in themselves. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
you do that?
What?
Yes.
It is like a hug.
Yeah.
Oh, this is like a hug.
It really is like a hug for your nervous system.
It is.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. I know y'all do all this work with your clients and all of that, but I would also love to just briefly go over, what is one thing that you think in learning your human design, since that's what I do, has helped you along this journey too? Like, how do you think it's helped you have permission for yourself to be more authentic, to give more to the people around you and to be yourself? Maybe when it was scary to do or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will go first.
Okay.
In working with human design stuff with you, the things that kept happening over and over and over was this feeling of like, oh, it's like on purpose. the stuff on me isn't on purpose. Like, it wasn't on
like, yeah, yeah.
But thing, this is just part of like the uniqueness of the complexity of me. Mm-hmm. And like, I saw that over and over and over. It was like this breath of relief. Like, oh, all right. Yeah, that's just like part of this piece of me. And this is how I'm going to work with it. And this is how this is relating to this other person. That makes it all make sense. Mm-hmm. And it's okay that we're different. I saw that over and over and over in me. On being a generator, the other thing that was really cool to learn was just the idea of learning what it meant to be in response, like mm-hmm. learning what it meant to have the feeling of that's a yes. Ooh, yeah. I saw something, that's a yes. Or maybe I wasn't a yes. Maybe it was more like a but like just that meant it wasn't really something I wanted, or I right. like it kind of like the path to mm-hmm. work with information, because it's the only way I understood how to work with information before was through the lens of what do other people think I should do, or what's the right thing to do, mm-hmm. in which case I need to know what right means.
And like it was so very much in the head and the mind.
Oh, so yeah, yeah. And all the time. Whereas it really got me back into this space of this subtle information, mm-hmm. the subtle wisdom that was always there, yeah. that was like, oh yeah, like I knew that. I just didn't know it was okay to know that. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's helped me tremendously all the time. I use it all the time.
So I have less familiarity with human design. I've had my chart read a couple times, but not gone in great depth. Although one of my friends, she went into like my gate key.
Gates and probably gene keys.
Gene keys, that's what it is.
I do a lot with that too, yeah.
Yeah, and she was telling me like one of mine, maybe 44, I think, is like basically says my purpose is to help people uncover subconscious patterns that mm-hmm. keep them stuck. And I'm like, what do I fucking do?
Yep.
So I like, this is literally my life's work. So that was so affirming to have that just even like, okay, this is like from the stars and all the things, like you were made for this. And although like I already knew it, it's so beautiful when the universe is like, here, let me just affirm you even deeper in work. Let mm-hmm. me just show you like, mm-hmm. this isn't something you're trying to force yourself into, or you're just not good enough, or you're just mm-hmm. trying to strive to make this be your passion and purpose. Like you were wired for it. Mm-hmm. You came to this earth for this. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really helpful. I'm a projector. And the one thing that always stands out to me is that we're supposed to take naps, which I find hilarious because I don't take naps and I wish I'd take naps, but I take naps. It doesn't work. But I definitely have that like, oh, people, yay. And then get me the F away from people. The whole part I still struggle with, if we're being very honest.
Yeah, totally.
Struggle with the idea of, for me, it's I'm supposed to wait for them to respond as a projector. Is that right?
I have a whole masterclass on how I think the strategies are full of crap.
Oh, good.
I'm going to give it to you, especially for projectors. It was born out of a one-on-one call with a projector. I was like, you know what? Your strategy is full of crap and we're about to talk about it. And then at the end of the call, I was like, this is a whole class. And so, I'm like 2 to 3 to 4 words really is your whole strategy in life. That's just complete crap. What? Yeah. No, there's so many steps. There's never, ever, ever a point in your life where you should ever wait.
Yeah.
Right. Projector is really all about committing to creating your body of work and being seen. Mm-hmm. And there's so much action to take in that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hook you up with that for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. And I get it. Right. And I think too, as Allison was talking, and I remember how much whenever you are presented with your design, there's so much you're going to be like, I don't like this. No, that can't be right. Right. And it's just so much of your conditioning, first of all. Right. But that is another thing, right? It's like, it shows you too, where you're automatically like, no, I don't like that about myself. That's definitely a no. And you're just, it shows you where you're repressing those things you really want to express. And too, like where you really, really want to express, but you're like, is it right? I don't know. Like you said, with your purpose, right? It's, it's really good.
Too, the other thing that I remember, because her and I, we used to go through the we compare ours just to like see what was similar.
It's so interesting.
We're very different. But
That's why like y'all have the kind of puzzle pieces to really match. Yeah. So yeah, I love.
really fantastic. Uh-huh. So we have several that are closed.
Defined centers.
Uh-huh. Defined mm-hmm. centers. And which was helpful in me understanding not just myself, but even like my husband, who has a lot more open. Mm. And I'm just I can make decisions a little better and be like, okay. And then once I decide, it's like, okay, that's it. Not that I'm not open-minded to changing my mind in the future, but I pretty much commit to things. And it's almost like he was just like all over the place, like, huh? And I'm just like, what the fuck? Yeah. And so human design helped me understand him a little better. Because I have a son who is literally almost all defined. It's mm. ridiculous. Mm. And that boy is just like, this is who I am. This is how I be. Yep. This is what I do. And he has a lot of compassion and love for others, which is not too typically things that are combined right. at that age. And I'm just like, oh.
But it's interesting, right? Like, because I love that you just said that too, because it's like the more energy you have to just be yourself, guess what else happens? The more energy you have to just let other people be themselves and love them unconditionally, mm-hmm. right? So that's such a testament to that, right? It's like, of course he was born. I mean, if you have all the centers defined or almost all of them, you're going to have strong energy. You're just going to be you. It's going to be part of who you are. And that'll be a struggle with him in life too, is like letting that be okay, which I'm sure you're helping him with that. But of course, like the direct impact of that on his relationship with other people is he's so unconditionally loving of whoever they show up as, because he gets to just be him. So anyway, had to stop and say that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Kids that can teach us so much.
Yeah, yeah. You just brought that full circle
all the way, right? Really. But it's true. It's just true. It is. And I think that's why learning to love yourself and be yourself is the most revolutionary thing you can do for the whole world.
Yes, it absolutely is. One of my favorite quotes, and to be honest, I saw it on somebody's Insta page, but I actually don't know who the original person who said this is, but it's finding yourself is an act of love. Expressing it is an act of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
That sums up everything that I want for my life and for the lives of those that I coach and I'm in contact with. Like, finding yourself, that is the deepest act of self-love, is to find yourself. But if you stop there, you keep the world from all of the goodness that it is when you actually come out and express it. And yet it takes massive courage to express it, right? It's a full act of rebellion, because the world also, culturally speaking and society speaking, we have all these program beliefs anyway, like, oh yeah, you should be this, fit in this box, do this, look like this. And so it is an act of rebellion to be like, no, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be fully me, my own person. And in doing so, I know this is not only the best for me, but it's the best for the collective.
Right. Because it's like, oh, here's an act of rebellion. Let's just be expressed us and just be saying the things we want to say. Or here's an act of rebellion and let's, like, you know, go kill a bunch of people. Right. It's like, kind of, we're all rebelling. Mm-hmm. But are you doing it in a way that's loving and helping,
right?
Or in a way that's coming out sideways? Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why I think this is the most revolutionary thing we can do for our whole world, is we have to start with ourselves and taking our own responsibility for our own life. And yeah, it seems really selfish, but it's literally the opposite.
It is.
Which is usually the most of life, right? We think it's one thing. It's like, oh, it was nothing what I thought it was. Right. Once we dive a little bit deeper, it's like, actually, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to give y'all a minute to talk about what is this amazing event y'all are going to put on, and how are y'all going to be helping people do this?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be putting on a free workshop, 3-day free workshop.
Oh, so
in
good.
November. Mm. And November 13th.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's the first day.
14th, 15th.
And it's called The Time Is Now.
So
this
good.
Is now. And it's really everything that we've been talking about here. We're doing it in a way that's like, okay, if the time is now, if we know and we understand that we're ground zero, like, we have to start with us. We have to start with creating ourselves into who we were actually designed to be, so we can show up with fullness and a full capacity for everybody else around us. Where do we start? Yep. What's the starting? What's the first things that we need to think through? What's the first stuff that needs addressed? How do we actually step through that doorway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for a lot of, we target it toward women because we do feel the most passionate toward helping women. I think anyone coming to this workshop would get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that a lot of the people who are our clients or our potential clients are just listening to us and interested in the things we share. They're at the place where they're not new to personal development. Mm-hmm. They're not new to trying to invest in themselves and better themselves. They have a desire for more of that. And on occasion, or maybe getting coached or diving into personal development, reading books, mm-hmm. things like that. But they're knowing there's like this shit that they want to happen. They want some type of catapult into their next level. Mm-hmm. And it's been slow. It's been, you know, there's been some movement, but then they feel like it's, I don't know. Is it happening? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to see radical changes, right? That's where they're at. Like I'm ready for something new and I'm ready for it now. And so mm-hmm. if you know time is now, you know, I'm done waiting. You know, life is fragile. I don't know what tomorrow holds. You know that you want to expose more of who you are to the world and also discover that for yourself. You know, you want to tap into deeper intuition because you're sick of living life from your head. And you've had moments, you have moments all the time, but you really want to like, this is the way I want to live. Mm-hmm. I want to be deeply connected to my inner wisdom, to my deep knowing. So that I'm not just living life based on everything that comes into my head. And I think this and my emotions. No, I feel grounded. I want to feel grounded. I want to know that when things happen, I have the wherewithal to be like, oh, okay, this is what's happening. I can see it from a 30,000 foot view. I want to trust myself in a level I have not yet before, because I want to dive into things and expand into things and evolve in a way that I haven't before. And that requires a deeper level of self-trust. Mm-hmm. So the 3 days we're really hitting on powerful awareness. Then we're moving them to radical acceptance, because the truth is that, as we've talked about with the idea of compassion, you can't just move yourself into growth without compassion. Yeah. If you don't have that piece, you are going to go one step forward, two steps back every time. And you will want to beat yourself up with a bat because you're never getting to the next place. Mm-hmm. It's limited. You're capped. And then we want to move them into just transformational authority, where you take back the reins of your life. Mm-hmm. Where you realize you're in the driver's seat. You have the creative power. You literally were meant to come here and create your mm-hmm. life on your terms in a mm-hmm. way that lights you up and therefore lights up the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So basically everybody listening needs to go. Everybody. Absolutely. I'm so excited for this for you guys. It's going to be so good. And this is a free event for everyone, yes. right? Free all you got to do is sign up.
Yep. That's it.
Awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to link all of that in the show notes.
Yay.
And yeah, thank you guys for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. What is one last thing that y'all want to tell everyone? And it could be just one tiny thing they can do today, or just one last thought that you have that you want to leave.
I love how thoughtful you are always. Mm-hmm. It's so deep, your thinking. I love it. I think I just want to tell people, it really is possible. Mm. Like you see people, right? We always see people kind of from a distance. Like they're the ones writing the books or doing the podcasts or doing the workshops. And they're always like, well, that's them.
Yeah.
That's not me. I don't know how to do that. And it's really whenever your brain says that's not me and I don't know how to do that, that's just a way that your brain is trying to kind of lock you down forever. It had its way, it would put you in a dark closet for the rest of your life. And it's a lie. Yeah. It's a self-imposed prison.
Yeah.
The places that these people are that you admire and that you want to be in those kinds of frame of mind and that kind of way of living, it is for you. Mm-hmm. It is for everybody. It is absolutely for you. And this is mm-hmm. possible for you mm-hmm. with all your uniqueness and all your complexities and all your lived experiences. It's for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the small things are the big things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's so easy, even for myself, to get caught up and be like, I want to see this result and I want to see that result. And why haven't I gotten there yet? And why haven't I done this yet? And it's like, look at the little things. Mm-hmm. Look for the little wins. Look for the little glimmer. We started glimmer journals, and basically mm-hmm. we're mm-hmm. on a daily basis where we see little moments of synchronicity, or where we see moments of like, oh my God, that was so aligned. Oh my God, like I totally felt led by my intuition to do that. And like, this is how it turned out. Looking for those, because we are so quick to write those things off,
right?
And the gap of mm-hmm. the, well, that's what I want, but I'm staring at the face of the unwanted. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no, that's what you want. What have you seen that has shown you evidence that you're getting that much closer to it?
Because mm-hmm. that will show you how powerful you actually are.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Keep you going for the big things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
I love you both so much. So
love you.
Thanks for doing this work in the world. You're ready to have not just a coach, but a guide that will help you go deep fast into yourself. Hold this container of co-creation and collaboration so you can discover your own innate magic and wisdom. I want to invite you into my 3-month human design deep dive with me. It's where your ego gets to meet your soul and they can finally stop fighting with each other so you can do what you came here to do in this 3D world. Integrate, synergize, and use your gifts with confidence and power. Schedule a free connection call at the link in the description of this podcast, or go message me on Instagram or Facebook. The sooner you can stop fighting with yourself, the sooner you get to share your magic with the world. This is going to create ease, flow, fun, and money in your life. Everyone wins. I can't wait to see you soon.